I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I think we have a lot of fun for you today. Well, we have fun every day here on Chasing Justice, don't we? You know, we've had a couple of great shows recently. I've had so much feedback from all of you on Twitter as far as emails and everything else when I spent time with Bill Dallas after his conversation that he had with serial killer David Berkowitz. It was very interesting. It led to a lot more questions. So I think at some point in the future, we're going to revisit that because I believe Bill's going to go back and interview him again, and I may actually get the opportunity to interview him. I'm going to bug Bill up a little bit to see if I can go, but I'm not going to push myself on him, but that'll be a great show for Chasing Justice, and we'll see where that's going to go. All right, so there's a lot going on. Every week I come in and I say this. There's a lot going on in the news, and you say, what could possibly happen? Well, I think we have to kind of get away from that idea now and just say, what won't happen in the next week? I mean, in the summertime, it's usually quiet, it's calm, it's relaxed. Everybody's taking a break, having a cocktail, enjoying the sunshine. But you know what? This is never ending because we're in a new paradigm. We are in a new place politically in our country. We are in a new place with this president. He's unprecedented. Whether you like him or not, everything about him is unprecedented. It's changed the way we do business every day as a country. And we see every day there's new players jumping out. I know Bill is going to be here later on. Bill's going to want to talk about the shift in the Democrat Party and what that really means. I mean, he's got a little more time here on the earth than the rest of us. And he remembers, you know, when the Democrat Party was a little bit different. I remember it a little differently because I'm a little bit younger. But it's amazing what's gone on. So first thing I want to do is I can't thank everybody on Twitter enough who listens to Chasing Justice. You go to the podcast, you email me, you blast in. This is fantastic. And I know I'm going to leave people out because we have now hundreds and hundreds of followers. And if you want to join us, go to @PangaroGlobal. That is where the Chasing Justice crew is found. I'm going to get everybody in the neighborhood to get their own Twitter account and we'll all connect it together. But it's good to bring us. It's good to bring us all together. So I want to say to a couple of people, we have Ray. Now, Ray writes the Trump Chronicle. Awesome, awesome, awesome piece of writing. Ray is an awesome guy. He's from down in Florida. Ray and I are actually probably going to get together and do a joint show because Ray's show is on, I believe he comes on right before me, then I come on, and then we have Lieutenant Randy Sutton afterwards. So it's the triumvirate in the afternoon on America Out Loud. But Ray and I have been talking about what we can do to get together and produce a show together, at least to maybe interview each other, talk to each other, combine our audiences, and bring everybody together. So that's really great. I want to say Bob McCarthy. Bob, you have been a stalwart out there trying to bring us all together, all the listeners and everybody here on America Out Loud. And I saw you were trying to do some kind of a get-together with all of the shows and everybody that listens, and it's going back and forth. Do it in Washington, do it in New Hampshire, do it in New Jersey. Who said New Jersey? Well, that would be the guys in the neighborhood. They want to do it right here in the backyard, but I don't think we can take 100,000 people here. So I want to say, Bob McCarthy, that's great that you're out there doing that. Ava Armstrong. Ava is a tremendous writer, a tremendous patriot, and Ava, you are giving us so much play by retweeting our stuff and mentioning, you know, the show and mentioning my articles. I can't thank you enough. This is important. You have to remember the people that are part of your orbit, the people that are with you. You know, we are all patriots that listen here. When I see these people that start to follow Chasing Justice, I click on, you know, who they are, and I see patriot, Christian, God-loving person, Trump follower, all-American. These are important things that many people are afraid to say anymore. You know, patriotism. I saw a sign the other day, a woman's holding up a poster, and it says, patriotism used to be normal. Now it's considered racist. Yes. To be patriotic. So I find that, what a change in where we are. So before we go any further, I want to thank those people. All-American Tweety Bird. Okay, first of all, I love your handle. But you repeat a lot of this stuff, and you retweet a lot of the stuff that I put down here. I cannot thank you enough for listening to the show for allowing me to talk to you. I think that's really fantastic, and to bring everybody here. So without further ado, let me introduce what I got here today. I was going to go solo this week. I said, but I can't do it because, first of all, you know, Jim knocked on the door. He had a microphone in his hand, and he was holding papers. He has things he has to say. So I said, okay, Jim Giordano, the contrarian, is here. So, Jim, welcome aboard.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Very good. We missed you the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been very busy. It's the summer.
I know.
That's so, Jersey Shore.
I know. Jack missed you, too. Jack has been saying hi to you.
Yeah,
Jack,
where
the
is
Rock
he?
And Roll Race Car.
Where is he?
He's riding a motorcycle somewhere. He's racing again. This guy is always racing. You guys see all the trophies in his trophy room. It's crazy.
Racing again? But isn't that what you said about something about losing again?
I won't go there. Bill said it. I didn't say it, Jack.
Yeah, we don't like fist fights here in the neighborhood. We like everything to be calm. And with that, I want to say that we have Bill Dallas, our man of faith here. Bill, welcome back. You and I had a great show talking about your visit, so thank you so much for coming
we
back.
We certainly did, and I got to tell you, everybody out there listening to the neighborhood, Lieutenant Joe Pingaro is one of the best interviewers I've ever sat down with.
Well, thank you, Bill. I do appreciate that. And you know, what I try and do is I try and think of not the politically correct question, because you watch a lot of interviewers, and they want to, you know, they have a guest that comes in and sits down, and they just want to basically kiss that guest's butt. And I don't do that. If I'm talking to somebody, I want to know, what motivated you? Why'd you do this? What happened? What did it feel like? How weird was it? It's kind of to bring us all into that room so it feels like we're there. And I thought, talking with you about your interview was really great. I think there was a lot of insight there for all of us. And I know I thought about it after we got done. I kept thinking about it. What did it mean to me? You know, and I think that's a lot of the email I got. People like, hey, we never thought about forgiveness like that.
Well, you made me feel comfortable, and I was able to bring up some of the things that I had forgotten about. And you drew them out of me. So I just want to thank you for making me look good.
Ah, well, that's the host's job. And first of all, here we are at the Mutual Aid Society of Chasing Justice. Jim, we'll make you look good.
Well,
you got to see yourself with that tinfoil hat. You are fantastic.
Are you guys going to do a kumbaya thing here now and hug each other? Come on, get it over with.
That's fantastic. All right, so, gentlemen, let's do a, you know, last week at the end of the show, I did a lightning roundtable, and I really liked that. I looked at, like, a whole bunch of different topics, and maybe we'll do that today at the end, but I thought I saw something very interesting. As our world is beginning to change, as people are demanding, and the younger people are demanding changes in how we interact with each other, the words we use, the political correctness that's demanded of everyone, I saw a very interesting thing happen with Bernie Sanders' political campaign staff. Now, Bernie is out there demanding that everyone in America get $15 an hour and everybody in America get the best of health care and everybody in America should have everything that they're supposed to have and the businesses will pay for it and the corporations will pay for it because they got the money and they're very rich, the 1%, and they're just squandering it away. It's not right. And then his staff, who's all unionized, and God bless the unions. I was part of a union. I was a union in the cops, man. The unions help lots and lots of people. But his staff is unionized. And they came to him and they said, Bernie, we want $15 an hour and we want the health care that you keep talking about you're going to give to everybody. Jim, what do you think Bernie's campaign response was to
that? I know what it is because he's such a hypocrite. The answer was no. I can't afford it. I mean, give me a break. You know, I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And unfortunately, many on that side of the aisle, they're just hypocrites. Just look at the AOC crowd and the squad.
The squad.
The squad. Hypocrites.
The odd squad. That's, you know, that's really the better name, the odd squad.
They were called the mob squad.
The mob squad. Well, listen, let's first of all discuss the problem with the $15 an hour. Do I want people not to make as much as they possibly can? I have had small businesses. I have a business that employs people. I want to give my people, first of all, I want to give them the most money I can possibly pay them. I want to give them the best benefits. Why? Because I'm a nice guy? Well, I am a nice guy. But the real reality is a business gives you the best pay they can and the best benefits to retain your services if you're a quality, decent person and you're a good employee. If you make money for that company, every company in the world wants to make sure you're happy so you're not constantly looking around for another job, so you're concentrating on what you're doing. So 15 an hour, that sounds great, but we're focusing our attention on the lower ranks of the workers in our country. Now, I'm delicately saying this. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I've been that lower rank of American workers. But that is not where people stay. You get a beginning job, a minimum wage job, not to feed a family of four and send people to college. You get a beginning job so that you learn how to go to work every day. You learn how to be a good employee. You learn how to show up on time. You learn how to deal with other people. You learn how to provide services to people. And as you develop and get better at that, you rise in pay, you rise in position, you rise in rank, and you do things. That's how it works. Minimum wage is not meant to feed a family of four and send people to college. But there are so many people who seem to think that that's all they can ever get. So I had better get that 15 an hour or I'm not going to be able to live. We do such a horrible job telling people to move down the road. Bill, you know how many jobs are available right now that we can't fill in America? You know what the number is?
I have no clue. Because I've been working for the same company for 43 years.
7.5 million jobs are going unfilled right now. Now, are they all $150,000 a year jobs? They're not. But a lot of them are. A lot of them are $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year jobs that are going unfilled for a couple reasons. People do not have the skills to do it. They don't have the work history to do it, and they don't have the ability to do the things that we need people to do. So we're spending all this time worrying about people at the very low end that are starter jobs, and we're demanding $15 an hour. So let's take a guess here. Jim, you have a company. You employ 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
Your company makes enough money for you to pay those 10 people a reasonable amount of money, whatever benefits you can get, and you end up making a couple of dollars. Isn't that why you're in business?
Of course.
So now the government comes along and says, Jim, you got to give everybody 15 an hour and you have to give them other benefits. Now that totally cuts out your entire profit.
It also does another thing. I become very wary of hiring more people because now it's been institutionalized. Now I get concerned. Instead of taking the risk, saying I really need more help, but once you get the government involved, they institutionalize the salary, they institutionalize the benefits, and let's not forget, we have all the other risks that comes with hiring workers, potential lawsuits. And I'm talking about frivolous lawsuits. People just make accusations, not that that's ever happened to me, make accusations that are incorrect. You have to defend yourself in court. You have the Department of Justice, you have the Department of EOE, I mean,
Labor.
The Department of Labor. Most people, and especially small businesses, you're very wary about hiring people, unless it's someone behind the counter. Why? Because the government is too involved.
Right. So you have your small business, and people think small businesses, everything is profit. And don't realize most small businesses work on about a 3 or 4% margin. So that if I sell something for $10, I make 3% of that, and I got to sell a lot of $10 things to make any profit. So now I have a choice. I have employees at $12 an hour that I can afford 10 of them. They're making money, I'm giving them benefits, and I'm making enough of a profit to stay in business. Now they demand I give everybody $3 an hour more. Now these are not high-skilled people. These are people performing some type of function I need in the office. Now I got to give 10 people $3 an hour more. That's $30 per hour times 40 hours every week. Where does that come from? That comes out of my profit. So what do? I cut back on employees so that I can pay the ones I have left 15 an hour. And I say, guess what? You got to do more with less. You guys all have to work harder because everybody had to get in a raise and I can't afford it.
You know, a lot of people forget that along with that $15 an hour minimum wage come benefits. And the benefits cost way more than the $15 an hour wage. The insurance for people, for their families, for health care has increased dramatically. And so for every employee we hire, we have to give them not just the minimum wage, we have to give them the benefits. And along with that, the benefits cost way more than the minimum wage.
And Bill, why is that? Why did the insurance go up? Is that a topic? But we need to talk about that. I think it's because we're bringing people into this country and absorbing too many that the country can't, or bringing in too many that the country can't afford. And what's happening is it's driving up insurance.
I agree.
You know, everybody blames the insurance companies. They're our fault too. But I really, because the government gets involved. The government has, every time they get involved in anything, they mess it up. Social Security. You name it. Other than fighting a war, no matter what, Medicare, Medicaid, everything is bankrupt. We need to ask ourselves the question, why? The one common denominator is the government.
Okay, so that kind of puts us in a position of, you're right, when you say except for fighting a war, what are the couple of things that government does well? The military.
And that's, lately, I'm not sure if we can fight a war anymore. I'll be honest with you. We worry too much about transgenderism in the military. Why should that matter? The job is to go over that hill and kill the enemy. I mean, it sounds terrible.
The biggest problem we have with war is that that's singular. We are at wars. We have so many hot spots around the globe. Our military is stretched to I don't know how thin they are, but we're getting involved in way too many places.
I agree.
And our enemy knows that. So they're starting more and more problems in different areas of the world so that we get stretched even further and makes us weaker.
Well, Bill, you're absolutely right. And last week I brought up something that I had heard. I heard, and I found it, I've told everybody about this since then. I heard people taking a poll of younger people, and this was people 30 and under. And it was so shocking to me that I'm going to bring it up again, whoever was listening last week, is that they were asking them a question about involving ourselves in a conflict with Iran, and they wanted to know, is it cool or is it not cool that we deal with Iran? They devolved the argument, the geopolitical argument of whether or not we interact with this diabolical regime who will bomb us the minute they have the right bomb, to whether or not it's cool or not cool to go after them. And this is what we're making decisions on.
Is a nuclear war cool? Is a nuclear war uncool?
Well, of course, we're going to start it, though, because if we just talk to them, if we let them understand them, they won't bomb us. We won't have to bomb them back.
What American tanker was captured by Iran? Okay, they did shoot down our drone, and I thought Trump showed tremendous restraint by not reacting like he could have. The real issue here is, why is Iran up to this no good at this point? I'm telling you why. Because there are people in this world behind the scenes, the globalists, who are running the scenes. They want a war. They want us to fight a war. They're instigating a war. John Kerry, who's part of the Tribe of 300, the Council of 300, the globalists, he was over in Iran. Why? Why is John Kerry? Because I'm telling you, he's telling Iran, get involved in a war. Get the West in a war with you because they're trying to cover something up. And I'm telling you, it's all going to be coming out.
War is money.
Fellas,
war is profit.
You're absolutely right. And that's an interesting thing. We're going to go and we're going to take a look at Iran and what Iran has meant since 1979 when they announced themselves as an enemy of America and the world and world peace. When we come back on Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice here on Ding 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 Round 2. And here we have the fellas in the neighborhood. We have Bill, the man of faith, Dallas, and Jim, the contrarian, Giordano. Hello, boys. Welcome back.
And where's Jack?
How you doing, Joe?
Where's Jack? Jack's out racing. He's racing cars or motorcycles or, I don't know, maybe he races races
just
people.
Point
he's
that.
He's, a he's running guy. Around in a circle.
Oh, you're both going to jump on him now.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
In the
seat. Look at them. Hi, the Jack. The they're high-fiving, Jack, that you're not here. All right, I'm trying to stand up for you. When he comes back, we're going to have a little boxing match. Jack will do one hand, left-handed, tied behind his back, and fight the two of you. All right. So we were really just touching on a subject that I wanted to bring up. I really wanted to talk about Iranians, whatever. And I want to talk about what they've been doing lately, how they have been provoking not just the United States and America, but the thorn they have been in the world's side since the Iranian Revolution in 1979 when they took the American embassy and the hostages. They held them for 444 days. We kind of forget that that went on. They threatened to kill those people. It was really a bizarre situation that took place. And now here they are again. And they just recently seized four ships in the Gulf over there, the Straits of Hormuz and all of that. Now, that's an important area of oil shipping. 20% of the world's oil goes through there, and they are now seizing ships. Now, our response to that, Jim, you were saying before, they did a provocative act when they shot down an American drone, which our side, and I believe our side, says it was over international waters, and the Iranians shot it down. As the president of the United States, I can only imagine that you're in this position where your enemies are looking for any weakness in you possible. Now, here is an American drone, a military device, shot down by an enemy of America. What are you going to do? And they're waiting on both sides. If you do something, they're going to attack you for doing the wrong thing or overreacting. If you do nothing, they're going to attack you for underreacting and not being powerful enough. So I think about that and I say, and you said he did the right thing. I think he did. I think his point was correct. To lose 150 civilians over a piece of equipment was the right thing to not kill those Iranian civilians. But I think that's the line in the sand. That is when you send back channel information. This is what President Joe would do. I would send a back channel message to them and I would say, we're not going to attack you because we are decent people and we're not going to kill your civilians by accident. But I can guarantee you this, another overt attack, a buzzing of an American ship, driving one of your patrol boats towards one of our boats, shooting down anything that belongs to us in international waters, is going to result in a response from which you will not recover. Now, that's a lot of talk from Lieutenant Joe sitting here, you know, in Chasing Justice headquarters. But I think the reality is the rest of the world, especially that part of the world, does not respond to weakness very well. It does not respond to, we're not indecisive. They respond to power. And if you're not going to be powerful in your response, there's no respect for you and they're going to step
beyond.
Joe,
you're playing their game. You're playing the global elite game. Iran is a pawn in the global chess game. They're irrelevant. The real people behind the scenes are the ones that have been ruling the agenda for mankind for thousands of years. This is the real root of the problem that I believe Trump is trying to get at.
Okay, so let me ask you though. Iran takes these four ships.
Whose ships were they?
They were two British ships, a Liberian ship, and the other one I think was one of the countries there. It was one of the Middle Eastern countries.
Well, let them.
So what happens when they march the British people off those ships and now hold them hostage? And we're allies with them. If these were American that were, say it's Americans, he'd take an American ship.
We'll support the British.
That's what I'm saying.
Let the British deal with it. Let the Liberians deal with it. Why is it our problem?
Because
don't come after our ships.
That's who America is. We are.
We're not the global police force.
No, we're not. We're not. But we are a country that cares enough about our allies that we will help them under any circumstances. You know, we will help them with reparations after wars. We will help them to just, get involved with their problems.
So, Bill, let's go beyond that and say, instead of just being a nice country that does the right thing and we help people, doesn't America also have its own interests in making sure that now they're taking British ships, they're going to shut down that that Gulf, they're going to cause problems over there?
What interest is that? We are, for the first time in our lifetime, sufficient on oil. We are a net exporter of oil. This is something I've been waiting for since the 1970s. That whole paradigm of the Red Sea and closing the Strait of Hormuz is over for us. Listen, if the British need our oil, hey, guess what? We got plenty of oil to sell you. You know, I don't get it. There's something not
Don't
right
we
here.
Have an interest in making sure that the free trade in all parts of the world stays open?
Sure.
Or doesn't it limit us eventually? Now, what happens if we shut off the South China Sea because they have Chinese bases
what
in the ocean?
What are you supposed to do?
Well, this is my question. What are we proposed to do? Right now, no one is afraid of America. So they're making fake islands in the South China Sea to take over that part of the waterway.
Well, now we're
talking
China.
These people are talking about shutting down the straits because they can do it. What happens when the next group steps up and says, you know what, we're going to do ABC, and now we're so far behind. Shouldn't America, and I don't like to be an interventionist, so it's hard to say this, shouldn't America have an interest in what goes on around the world to be the power that says, no, you're not going to do that? You're not going to shut that down. We're going to send an aircraft carrier in there with a battle group, and any time you come anywhere near any of the shipping, we're just going to sink you, and that's the end of it.
We do that now. Every time that there is a hot spot, every time there's a hot spot in whatever area of the country, the first thing that we do is we send a battle group into that area just to make sure that if something does escalate, we are there to protect our interest. Our interests, I'm saying.
Bill, three tankers were commandeered by the Iranians this weekend. Where the hell was our battle group?
Okay, that's a good question, Jim. I was going to ask, did we, after they took the first one 2 weeks ago, and we knew that they shot down our drone, and they now took a ship, did we get caught with our pants down that we didn't have the SS Ronald Reagan sitting over there waiting to stop this from happening?
Or
did we get caught?
Nothing but a facade. It's a global play that they're playing for the American people to get us back into a war because the elite are now on their heels because they know that Trump, and there's a lot of people in the U.S. government are fed up with these elitists. And I'm talking not only in America, I'm talking Europeans. I don't know if you heard, and it's a show that came out recently. Tom Gambino, the crime boss, he gave an internet show, and I'm not sure if it's true or not, but I listened to it today, and it's really revealing. He was saying that the mob, the CIA, the FBI, Mossad, and the Vatican were all in cahoots. They killed Kennedy, and you have to wonder now.
Yeah, I'm
going
to give you.
What is going
you know
on here?
Maybe there is something behind the thing. Bill, go get the tinfoil hat. Maybe there is something. Get the hat, Bill. Jim, there could be something there. Now, I'm not going to laugh and say that there isn't, because you know what? Sometimes something that seems so absurd. Would we ever expect that the United States intelligence services, in cahoots with the Attorney General's office and the President of the United States, would get together to go after an American citizen who was running for president to totally steer an election? Would we have imagined that that would have happened until
Very
it happened?
Very good, Joe. Thank you for
and
that.
And we know it happened. So I'm giving you that much.
So maybe I'll give you the tinfoil hat. Here
no,
you
no.
Go.
I'm not wearing the tinfoil hat because I'm saying I saw what happened in that. I'm saying just because it seems outrageous doesn't mean people behind the scenes don't want things to happen. Now, I don't really understand that, you know, if I don't see that there's people playing Iran. Iran is the one taking the ships. Iran is the one, if they get a nuclear weapon and they threaten Israel, if they threaten, they have intercontinental ballistic missiles they're trying to make so they can threaten eastern United States and our allies. How far do we let them go before we say, Jim, really sorry, we lost Berlin because they bombed Berlin or they bombed London, and now what do we do?
Let's take a leap forward. Why do you think President Trump is so hot on the U.S. Space Force? Why do you think that is? You think that just because I want to go back to the moon, or I want to be the first country to get to Mars? No.
Why do you think that is?
Because he wants to protect our country and the
from who?
From anyone. Out in space is going to be that's going to be the next battlefield.
Hey, Klaatu.
Can you bring Bill the tinfoil hat?
Yes, Klaatu, also known as Jim Giordano. Klaatu, you're going to pass the hat on. But you know what, Bill? It's interesting that you brought that up because I brought this up in one of my recent meanderings here on Chasing Justice that I said starting the Space Force has two or maybe three potentials. Number one, space is now a viable area for protection of ground territory. Space is overloaded with equipment and whatnot. We can't ignore it anymore. So the Space Force that Trump wants is either because he's recognizing that that is a frontier of not just necessarily weapons, but communication, data, everything we need to run the country is now going through satellite, and he wants to make sure we're a part of that. Number two, maybe he knows something that we don't know. This guy that I talked about a couple weeks ago from ATIP, Jim, this would be right up your alley. I wanted to get into this in Section 3, but we're going here. This guy quit the government because he was in this special group that was looking at potential aliens coming here. And I don't mean aliens from South America. I mean aliens from outer space. And he was running this group looking at all these new sightings. And I talked about the sighting that I had. And I came to your house and you showed me the number one sighting of a weird UFO in the world is the black triangle. And I saw it. I saw it with my own two eyes. I didn't expect to see it. And I hadn't been drinking adult beverages.
Bill, can you give Joe the tinfoil hat?
Now the tinfoil hat comes to me.
That's getting passed around.
It's going around. Because nothing's impossible. My point is, the second reason of Space Force is that maybe he knows something that he can't release right now. And the third thing is just that he wants to start something new. He leaves as president. Hey, I started the Space Force. I started a whole new military group in the United States. I think that's interesting.
Joe.
Go ahead.
Recently, and it's starting to get a lot more mileage recently, you know, the whole Area 51, people want it. There's something coming up, and it's called disclosure. People who believe in these UFOs, and I follow, as you know, they want the government to disclose. And mm-hmm. If you notice recently, you had that Navy program where you had, they now have an actual program that they admit that there are some phenomena out there that they don't understand. And they're going to catalog the phenomena. In my opinion, we already know what's out there. And Trump knows this, and maybe the whole Space Force, remember, he is the president. Mm-hmm. Maybe this whole Space Force is something, you know something? We got to get our act together, because there are people around here, entities that we really have we can't protect ourselves.
That's a distinct possibility, and now I can hand the tinfoil hat back to Jim and get it off of me.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me just throw something else in that's interesting. Recently, I heard that there's a reason, not just for the U.S. Space Force, but look at all the new type of movies, the genre is all geared towards Earth being attacked by aliens, having a meteor striking the Earth, trying to go out and blow up another meteor that's going to hurt the Earth. All these things that are possible potential problems is coming about for a reason. And that they're preparing, because if all of a sudden we get one thing that's real and true, the country's going to go crazy. Everybody's going to panic. Wait. Everybody's going to panic. But if as we get little by little more information, we see movies, we get more inundated with these things, and we get more inoculated towards understanding other cultures from other worlds. You know, Star Trek was an amazing show, and there's a reason why it lasted for years and years. But if we get kind of like soft pedal all this stuff, maybe there's some truth in all of that.
So you're saying they're trying to prepare us by softening up through media?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I could see if there was a softening preparing to make an announcement. Jim, you're talking about the preparation, the announcement. I can't see that Hollywood's involved with that. Like, hey, do me a favor. You guys do a meeting, do a movie on asteroids because we know there's one coming. I think you would see, like, military, government would say, NASA announces today they found this asteroid that's 28 years away and it could be on a trajectory with Earth. And then a year later, you get another. Meantime, they're in the background knowing it's coming.
No,
and they're going to start doing things.
No, because then people wouldn't believe that. People would be more inclined to believe the movie, the information as it comes little by little.
Hang on now. So you're saying, does art imitate life, or does life imitate art? Is the media used to influence what
Absolutely.
We do every day?
Absolutely. The government influences media all the time, for the good and the bad.
Hmm.
And I will tell you, and you heard it here first, but I heard it here. I heard it from a different source.
Before he speaks, everyone at home, make a tinfoil hat and put it on yourself. Go ahead, Jim.
The first discovery that's going to be major is going to be in Antarctica. They're going to find
an
ancient civilization, including potentially spaceships. It'll be in Antarctica, and it will happen within
Why
the
would
next
it be in
3 years.
Why would
because
it be in
that's where it is. They already know it's there.
Oh, that's because John Carpenter made a movie called The Thing, and that's exactly the scenario that you were talking about.
I like The Blob, my favorite movie, The Blob.
It wasn't The Blob. It was called The Thing.
Well, we got blobs, we got things, we got aliens, we got AOC, you know, all things that make no sense to any of us. But they potentially could change our lives. When we get back to segment three, we have lots of other things to talk about. But I find it's interesting here in the neighborhood because this is what goes on around a campfire. We sit and we talk about things, and we have adult beverages. And you never know. Jim could be 100% right. How stupid would you feel laughing at him right now, listening to the show, and 2 years from now, when the aliens are coming to you going, and you're going to put on your hat?
They're not
going to
do that.
You don't think
They've
so?
Been here for a
I don't
while.
Know. We'll be back in a minute with Chasing Justice to find out some other UFOs, aliens, and dangers facing America.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to round three here on Chasing Justice. Interesting show so far. I think there's no way you can get around that one. We have covered lots of different topics here. So what I want to do here is tell you about True Security Design. That's my company. We go out and we do threat assessments for schools, businesses. I teach law enforcement officers around the country. I also have recently started doing summer camps and camps for kids because, you know what, every summer you send your kid off somewhere. Is that camp safe? That's a question you need to have to wherever you're sending your kids. I had a huge camp that 150, 200 acres. They have 2,000 kids go there every single day of the year. It's a camp for the arts. It's a beautiful program. It's a wonderful thing. And they were smart enough to say, hey, you know what? We're kind of like a school. Can you come out and take a look and see how safe we are from potential threats? And I give them a lot of credit for thinking that. They didn't have to do that, but they wanted to make sure they were doing the right thing because they are like a school. So if there's anything like that we can help you with, you can call, you know, you can email me at jpangaro@truesecuritydesign.com. You can also look us up at truesecuritydesign.com. And here's what we're coming up with for the fall. all of us have kids that do sports. We have graduations. We have football games. We have political rallies in our community. Lots going on. How are the local police or the entity that's running, the organization that's running that event, how are they securing large outdoor events? Football games, high school football games. How are they being secured? How are they watching after sports? All those kind of things. So True Security Design now. We are branching out into Texas and the southern market. That's right. My partner is going down to San Antonio, Texas, where he's opening an office for True Security Design. So we're now nationwide for sure. And we are starting to talk about what do we do for, you know, Friday night lights? Are we making sure they're safe? Religious facilities, are they safe? Camps, are they safe? Schools, are they safe? Any place where people get together needs to be secured. And the very first step in that is a threat assessment to make sure you cover all the security gaps you have. Because you know what? There's bad people out there that want to do bad things. And if anybody out there can tell me when and where the next bad thing's going to happen, please send me an email or a phone call, because I'll be there and be a hero and take care of it. The problem is, we know these things are going to happen. Nobody knows when or where they're going to take place. So we can't be paranoid. We have to live our life, but we have to be aware and prepare. And you do that by getting a threat assessment, closing down your security gaps, and being ready to respond if and when that violence strikes your place. www.truesecuritydesign.com. Reach out to us. We can help you. All right, so there's my commercial for today. I want to do some closing of the loops now because we've been all over the place. Here I am with Jim, the Contrarian Giordano, Bill, the Man of Faith Dallas, here from the neighborhood. The neighborhood guys are really amazing, aren't they? A lot of you write to me and say you really love the neighborhood. I start to get a little paranoid. Maybe they like the neighborhood more than they like Lieutenant Joe, which you know what? That's okay because I'm part of the neighborhood, aren't I? All right, so let's close some of these loops. In one of these segments, we were talking, fellas, about Bernie Sanders and the irony of him demanding that every business in America pay $15 an hour minimum wage and give great health care to their people. But he's not doing that with his own campaign people. And they're upset that they're not getting $15 an hour and all this stuff. And Bernie says, I can't afford it. Well, we started talking about that. We get into it a little bit. The reality of running a business is that a business is run on very, very small margins. People think, that, oh, a business makes millions of dollars. You did $12 million in sales last year. Well, you don't realize between the electric, the lights, the phone calls, the emails, the people you have to pay to work there, who the compute, everything, you end up making about 3 or 4% profit on the whole entire thing. And if you get down to 1% profit, you may have to close your doors. All right, so when Bernie says he can't pay this because he can't afford it, there's the lesson for all of us. You cannot demand of American businesses that they do the socially just thing and give themselves away because you know what? They close down and then nobody has a job. I don't know anybody that runs a business that doesn't want to pay their people the most that they can pay them because they want good people to stay. Now, you're going to come up with examples and go, well, what about some of these big companies like Walmart that rip everybody off and they don't pay? First of all, I'm not saying that there are some places that will pay the minimum they have to. But the reality is nobody has to take those jobs. And the reason that they're getting $20 an hour in South Dakota right now at McDonald's is because there's so many jobs there in the oil industry. They can't get people to work at McDonald's. The market works every single time it's put into play.
Once it's free.
Yes,
the
Jim.
Government gets involved, it becomes less free, and then next thing you know, we have convoluted capitalism. It is not what it was intended to be.
Convoluted capitalism? I love that. That's great. I have to write an article about that coming next week.
Well, listen, the things that people like Bernie Sanders forget about when he says, we should all pay our employees $15 an hour, is what about the insurance? What about the benefits that they get? You know, he's one that should talk. He gets his benefits paid for. He gets a lifetime pension just for his job. He gets a lifetime Medicaid or whatever he is by the time he retires, if he ever does. So he should not be the one to talk about what our business owners should be paying their employees. Most business owners are really good to their employees.
Well, let's not forget, he's not a business. He's a politician.
Right.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah.
He forgets about that.
And he's
that.
A socialist. And he also, isn't he part of the 1%? Doesn't he have millions of dollars?
Yes, he does.
Did he sell a book that made millions? Did he turn around and give that money to the poor? Did he write a check to the local poor? No, because now it's his money. And I got to tell you, I know a lot of people that have tons and tons of money. And one time I was having an argument and somebody was talking about that, you know, people are not paying enough to take care of everyone. And I said, well, you got millions of dollars. Why don't you write a check for everything you have except for $80,000 a year and give that to the people who need it and you live on the $80,000? And they looked at me dumbfounded and they were like, well, if we just did it, then it wouldn't make much of a difference. Oh, but you want everyone else to do it. So it's always easy to spend other people's money, to blame other people. Everybody go out there and do the right thing. Work hard. Make yourself a business. Work hard for your employer. If the employer works out and makes money, you'll make money. I get it. Not everybody's a great boss, but do what we can. So I want to close that loop. Bernie, you don't know what you're talking about. You're going to damage American business with your nonsense. You don't demand that a business has to pay X amount of dollars. If that business is successful, everyone will work out better. All right. So one of the other things we touched on real quick was the was our military going in and doing social justice things in places. And Jim, you said the military is supposed to go in and I think in the words of Rush Limbaugh, we'll quote Rush, is to break things and kill people. That's the purpose of the military.
Exactly.
That is the purpose. It's not to go in and make things fair. It's not to go in and make sure that the whoever is there does the right thing. The military has a specific purpose, and we have to back them up in everything that they do. And I think...
I don't have an objection to the military going in, for example, that tsunami in Indonesia. It was our military that was able to get there and do a social thing, benefit the world. I have no objection to that because it's not putting our men and women in harm's way. But I will tell you, we use the military like we use our school systems. Schools were meant to teach children. They were not meant to do what they've become today, to be an all-encompassing...
indoctrination.
Well, let's not even go there. But the military's primary purpose is to defend the United States of America from its enemies.
Yeah, but how many times have you heard someone in the military say, we could end this if they would just let us do our job? How many times have you heard that?
Look, what happened with ISIS. For years, we let them do whatever. Trump gets in there and says to the generals, hey, clean it up. And he let them go do it. It's dirty work, ladies and gentlemen. That's cleaning up evil requires you to do bad things. And I saw a great thing. It says, everybody wants nice people, but when it comes to evil attacking you, you want very, very good men and women who are very proficient in violence. That
Bill,
sounds terrible,
the nail on the
but that's what you got to do. You can't play around with these people. Go in and clean them out.
And it needs to be said over and over. Before Trump got into office, ISIS was every headline on the mainstream news media. Mm-hmm. After he gets into office, in 6 months, we don't hear about him. But he's the bad guy. That's right, he's a racist. Let me tell you something. He did something very good for the American people, for the world. The ISIS and the Islamic militants have been corralled and they've been handcuffed. Thank you, President Trump.
Excellent. All right, now, we're going to do a little bit of a lightning round, and then I have a topic I want to end on, because the season that we're in is a patriotic season. You know, we had July 4th not too long ago. We have the Betsy Ross flag controversy. Colin Kaepernick, sit down and shut up. Okay? That's all I can say. I understand what you're doing. I get it. I support, you know, racial justice and all of that stuff, but what you're doing... attacking America is not right. It's not the right way to do it. So, you know, kneeling down and hating the flag, bad move. You're not helping with your concern, because we all have your same concern, just you're going about it making enemies of things. So I didn't like that. So let's do a lightning round. The squad. Bill, why don't you start us out? The squad. What do you think of the squad?
Squad. You mean the Democratic Socialists? I can't even begin to... figure out where they're coming from. I mean, I've heard another term, racialist or racialism. I don't even know what that means. They're taking the Democratic Party into a new direction. They're becoming the voice of the Democratic Party. And as a result, Nancy Pelosi has, you know, she's like stuttering. She's like me. She keeps stuttering. She doesn't know what to say because every time something new comes out, she tries to protect the Democratic Party, but she can't do it because she's overwhelmed by the squad.
Right, and that's AOC, that's this Ilhan Omar, that's this Tlaib woman, and I don't even know the other woman's name. She's from Boston. They are Democrat socialists, which there's no difference between a socialist is a Democrat socialist. They will all destroy whatever we have, and we all end up in a very bad place if we follow what they're looking at. But the squad, Jim, what do you think about the squad?
Well, first of all, democratic socialism is communism. Let's call it for what it is.
Communism.
Yeah. Ilhan
Ultimately,
Omar.
I think it is.
She comes into this country from Somalia. She marries her brother to get in. And, by the way...
Do we know that?
If I committed a crime... Well, we don't know that for a fact.
Okay.
But you want
Just
to know...
Just be clear.
There's enough
we don't
evidence
know.
Out
Some
there.
Evidence that it happened.
There's enough evidence out there to make me...
Let's investigate it.
Highly suspicious.
Shouldn't Tucker we investigate
Carlson
that?
Brought it up just recently.
Save Tucker Carlson. We love Tucker.
The elite, if you are protected by the elite, you never get charged for a crime.
Right.
But little old Jim here in Jersey Shore, I will get charged for a crime if my blade of grass is too long. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You're absolutely right. Depends on who you are.
Exactly.
Where you come down on a thing. All right, so the squad, we find, I see the squad and I see, you know, a couple of episodes ago, back in the day, I said, no matter how you dislike AOC, I had to give her credit that she's someone who had a point of view. She wanted to be involved in the system. She ran for election and she won. I had to give her that credit. If Lieutenant Joe decided tomorrow, I got really important things to say and I'm going to run. First thing I got to do is run a campaign. Then I got to get myself elected. That's an important thing. And she did that. I give her that credit. The reality, though, is that her policies, her ideas, her concepts are nothing I want anything to do with. It has nothing to do with her race. I could care less who she is about anybody's race anymore. This is ridiculous that we even talk about that. But that's an easy hammer to throw back at people. Well, you don't like me because of my race. You don't like me. No, I don't like your ideas. I don't like your policies. That's the problem. So that's where I see the squad. They are becoming very popular. There's a whole group of Americans who are being transfixed with this whole socialism is fairness and rich guys won't have anything to say anymore to be really we the people. But it comes back down to the, is it cool or is it not cool, people? Is that what we want running the country?
But there are people out there that try to oppose them and they get hammered. The thing is, people are getting more and more afraid to oppose them. So they're getting more and more power just by doing that.
Right. So let's hope that this election, at least it's going to come down to a referendum on which way do we go? This is a very important election coming up.
Yeah.
It's going to determine which way we go. So let's go down to the next thing and say, Bill, you talked about this, the squad splitting the Democrat Party. Do you think that's a real problem for them and the split that's coming because of the power that they're
I think it's a good thing for everybody except for the Democratic Party because that split is going to weaken their votes. And I can see that the Republican Party is going to take advantage of that at some point. They're going to exploit it, whether that's good or bad.
Right.
But I
is
can
America
see
ready to go their way? That's really the
Absolutely
question.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. All right, lightning round. Jim, this is your point of view. There's a bunch of people talking about storming Area 51 to pull the aliens out of there and find out what's really been going on. Do we do it or not?
I think the United States government should just have tours.
Tours?
They should have the 1.5 million people show up at the gates and give tours of Area 51. You want to know something? That's the people's base. It's the people. I know this top secret stuff. Just move some of the real top secret stuff.
Well, what if that top secret stuff is the aliens?
Well, you want to know something? That disclosure needs to come out. I hate to say it. If that is true, it needs to come out. Let it happen.
You okay. Don't hate to say it. You love to say it.
He does love to say it. All right. Now, here's how I want to end this segment. I think this is very important. We are in the season of patriotism. And here on Chasing Justice and in America Out Loud, the free speech beacon of the world, we are patriotic, most of us. So one of the things I wanted to ask everybody, give me some time here. Bill, why are you proud to be an American?
I have several reasons. First of all, we have an elected president. We don't have a king. We don't have a dictator. We have a person that is elected by the people to lead us into the future. We also have freedom of religion. I can choose how and where I want to worship. And we also have the strongest, the most powerful military in the world. And it's an all-volunteer military. So we are a melting pot of people. And right on our coins, it says, E pluribus unum, out of one, many. Abraham Lincoln, one of my favorite quotes, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it'll be because we destroyed ourselves. That was a very educated, very brilliant man who led our country in the most difficult of times. And that's why I'm proud.
You're a proud American. Jim, give me 30 seconds. Why are you proud?
America has been controlled since Babylonian times by the elite. America was a mistake. With the elite didn't realize that America could have actually won that war, and it gave people freedom. For the first time, the people of the earth saw that we can be free and run ourselves. And you want to know something? The elite has been after us from that time, and unfortunately, they seem to be winning. But we're going to turn it around.
Since Babylonian times.
Excellent.
Babylonian times.
Gentlemen, I'm going to say thank you very much. I appreciate this this episode of Chasing Justice. Why is Lieutenant Joe proud of America? I'm proud of America because I can be anything. I can be someone who came from nothing, and I can turn my life around. I can teach my children that they have the right to do and be anything they want to be. I think of all the young men and women throughout the course of our history who have died on foreign battlefields and battlefields here right in the United States as they had their last breath thinking about what they were giving their lives for. And that is so that me and my children and my grandchildren and those who come after us can live in a land of freedom and liberty. There is nothing else if there is not freedom and liberty. Without that, we are all living in a tyrannical type of a lifestyle. America is freedom, and it gives us that opportunity, which is what God wanted for all of us. That's why I love America. Hey, here on Chasing Injustice, we all love America. So remember, be part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We'll see you next week.